HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to the HD Brunch podcast, the weekly companion to your printed copy of HD Brunch, where I, your host Karishma Kunzang from Team Brunch, give you a behind the scenes of what you'll be reading on Sunday. There'll be interviews with the biggest Bollywood celebrities talking about things that matter to them. You'll also get to know a little more about the columns by Veer Sanghvi and Seema Goswami from the columnists themselves. Why should you listen to it? Well, it's one of India's top Sunday magazines. It has the best editors, columnists, and opinion leaders bringing you what's happening around town. Listen on for an additional dose of brunch. This series is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Hey guys, how's it going? I've never played golf. I mean, I tried my hand at miniature golf and wasn't that great at it, to be honest. Nothing to boast about, certainly. I feel I'm better suited for basketball or tennis. But our HD Brunch cover star and actor, Rakulpreet Singh, is quite the pro when it comes to golfing, it turns out. And it's something that she's been quite passionate about as a child, she tells me in a chat this week. Listen on as she talks about her love for the sport, what she's been up to during the lockdown, and Bollywood.
Hi Rakul, congratulations on your HD Brunch cover and welcome to the HD Brunch podcast. Tell us, what has the response to the cover story been like?
Hi, thank you so much and thank you for the cover. The response has actually been great. I got a lot of messages from people who I thought were aware that I play golf, but were quite surprised that, oh, you're a golfer? Also, and I said, yeah, you didn't know? I've spoken about it so many times. So I just think that, you know, covering a whole cover story on golf, which is my other passion, you know, and I'm someone who's very passionate about sports, it was really nice.
So, you know, on that note itself, tell us about your whole love affair with golf. You know, how did you fall in love with the game and how did it kind of evolve from there?
So I was in my fifth grade when I had my first experience of golf and I hated it. I would cry to go to the golf course. My dad told me that there's no saying no till you actually try it. And because he doesn't take no for an answer. So he said, unless you learn the game or you give it a fair chance, try your hand at it. You can't really judge a game. And I used to always think it's meant for the oldies and, you know, it's an uncle's game and I don't want to go. But then eventually I got a hang of it. I started playing. But my real interest happened when we moved to Delhi and I was in my ninth standard and I saw a lot of kids playing golf. Because earlier I was in Devlali and smaller stations, right, Firozpur. Yeah. And you don't have too many kids or opportunities. So you want to do things that other kids do. And then when I came to ninth grade in Delhi, there were just so many kids who played golf. We started playing more professionally, had proper coaches, started playing the junior circuit. And golf is a very addictive game. So once you get used to it, you just get used to it. So then 4 years of my high school, 9th to 12th, it used to be every day from school straight going to the golf course. We used to take the golf course bus and go to the golf course. Mom would come there with lunch in half an hour. We would get ready to play and play for 3-4 hours every single day, at least five times a week. That's how it happened. And now, unfortunately, I don't get as much time as much as I would like, because golf is also not a game where you can just go play for an hour and come back. It's not like badminton or tennis or any of these other games. You know, you need to dedicate that half a day, which doesn't happen, unfortunately, as much.
All right. But, you know, what's the best part about it for you today, you know, now that you've spent so many years playing it and it's been so integral in terms of who you are?
Right.
So what's the best thing about it that, I mean, you feel that it's maybe helped you?
You know, I said this in the interview as well, that golf is the only sport which is a parallel to life. Because it teaches you, and any sport actually sort of teaches you how to handle pressure. But because this is your own sport, it's a solo sport, it teaches you that life is your own game. and it's dependent only on you. When you play a shot, you need to put your head down and focus on the shot in hand, because the moment you look up, you're going to shank the shot or you're going to miss the shot. And that's a parallel to life. The moment you have your head high and you start thinking too highly of yourself, you can go wrong. Never lose hope, because you can have a hole-in-one as a fluke. Never get too overconfident, because you can have a ball loss at any point and you can go down the leaderboard. So I think it's the only sport which is a parallel to life. And also, it's something that teaches you how to handle your nerves. Because every other sport, you're generally playing in that adrenaline rush. You know, yeah. So you're very quick with your responses. But here you have to train yourself mentally as well. So it's a mental game. And that's why for golf, I don't know if people know, you also have mental coaches who train you how to be strong. And I think that always plays a very important part in your life, especially the field that we're in as actors, because you're always under scrutiny, or, you know, someday some people like you, someday they hate you. So how do you deal with all of that? Is something I find it very easy, because I've grown up playing golf.
And, you know, in fact, that was my next question to you. But, you know, moving on, you know, since you mentioned that this is the day and age when we do live in the world of social media, and that is where you're hated one day, you're loved the next. So does playing golf or playing a sport, or, you know, is that what you do to mentally take a break from all of this? Or, you know, have you also come up with other things that you do, since, you know, this might take half a day? So
no, I just don't let it affect me. Karishma, I just feel that that's a way of life that you adapt. There's no one activity which is going to help you distance from some sort of negativity. Of course it'll help, but I think your entire outlook towards how you deal with things needs to change. And to me, luckily, that's happened because I've, like I said, that, you know, I used to play golf and or I was in sports, and I've always handled pressure. And when this pressure feels, I mean, doesn't feel any different. Yeah. So I think as a person, I'm someone who shuts myself down post my shoot is over. And I'm someone who shuts off. Once you say pack up, I get back to the real me.
Yeah.
Now, my social media is meant for me to interact with the fans who want to interact with me, and I'll do that. And then, of course, it's but natural. Some people may not like me. Some people may like me. But that's not my opinion. That's theirs. And they can have their opinion. And if they don't matter to me, if their opinion doesn't matter to me, it doesn't affect me. You know, as long as nobody is talking about my work or the people I love, or, you know, my closest circle, or things that matter to me, it doesn't move me.
Right. I have to ask, how much time do you end up spending on social media? Sorry.
Not much, Not much. I am not, I do my posts, but I'm not someone who will keep flipping through social media and see what's happening, who's posting what. I just don't know. Half the time people say, are you living under a rock? You know, this happened, that happened. And I just feel that, you know, there's no end to you giving in to these social pressures.
So
where do you draw a line? And I feel that my life is beyond social media and beyond being an actor. I'm also my own person, and I can have a life beyond going to set and coming back and doing my own things, which doesn't necessarily have to have social media. And I luckily feel that, you know, because we are the 90s kids, we didn't grow up on phones from, you know, from say people who are the millennials. Now, like 2000s, right?
So
it's not something that we've always seen around. We started with basic phones and it's okay. So I make that conscious effort that I don't give into too much time into social media. In fact, I keep my social media logged off on my phone so that when I have to use it, I log it in. So then I don't keep flipping.
Yeah, and then that also gives you that 1 minute where you actually tapping in your password and you...
So you're not going to just, when you're not doing anything, you're not just going to keep flipping through social media and, you know, you just sign in when you need to, and that's about it.
That's actually a really nice tip that I think I'm going to follow. But, but, you know, social media, I feel, I mean, has also kind of changed the way we see, the way the idea of fame is perceived today. Like, you know, where you can get 1,000 followers with one reel. right? And but it might not last versus when we were growing up or even 10 years ago, getting famous was a big thing. I mean, it didn't happen so easily. And once you became famous, you stayed famous for a while. You know, this is without any scandals or whatever. This is like legit positive kind of fame.
Right. So
what is your opinion of what fame is in today's day and age?
See, I'll tell you, fame is very different for everyone. You know, some people think that having a decent following on social media is their claim to fame. And I'm talking about normal people, you know, who I have 10K followers and this is great and this is the cool thing right now. But I really think that this is all very temporary. Of course, everything has its own pros and cons. Yes. And when you chase the right dream, like my dream is not to be famous. My dream was to be an actor. Now, being famous or being a celebrity or being socially active, all of that comes along with being an actor.
Right.
And that'll eventually happen. If I chase my dream right, it'll happen. So I look at it that way. And even with social media, I think it's a great platform to sort of have to influence people who are following you, you know, influence them on something good, to talk about issues. I think it served as a great help during COVID times where people could connect, help each other, you know, news reaches fast, but then also what news reaches fast, the source of the news, you know, things like that. So, so there's so much. And I think you need to figure that what is fame for you. Are you looking at that 2 minutes of fame that you're going to get at social media and be happy with that?
Yeah.
Or the number of likes that you get on your picture? Or are you more than that? And I feel that, you know, we are more than that. I mean, this is this is basically the technology is sort of drawing people and putting them into a herd mentality and getting them stuck to something which is, you know, like the Social Dilemma show talks about.
Yeah.
It's trapping you. So I think if you're strong enough to not get trapped, then it's great. It's fun entertainment. Mm-hmm. And if you do get trapped, then find a way to get out of it.
All right. That sounds like something that people do need to hear today. But I'm sure the next question is something that you've been asked multiple times. But any tips on how to catch a break when it comes to Bollywood? You know, it's difficult to crack. And there are so many people in Bombay who are trying to do it every single day.
You know, what is not difficult to crack? You know, how many people write their engineering exams and there are only a few engineering colleges? Everybody wants to do IIT.
Yeah.
So many people write their medical exams, but there are only a few seats for doctors. And we don't talk about it because that's not showbiz. And we discuss Bollywood because it's showbiz. Right. Because I have the access to talk to you and do this podcast and say that. But I'll say that everything is difficult if you want to excel in it. Mm-hmm. But nothing is difficult if you have the willpower for it. You know, I think I look at it that way. And I came from a completely no filmy background. You know, I had no connection at all. But that's why it took long. But then, you know, I think you just have to be at it and keep believing in yourself and keep trying till things work your way. And I was always of the belief that, you know, there are a lot of people who keep trying for many, many years. But I'd given myself a certain window that I'm going to give myself 2 to 3 years. And if things work out, great. And if they don't, then I fall back on my studies. I make something else of my life. So I think be very idealistic with the situation around. Give your 100%. Always be your, you know, at your best. Whether you're preparing for a role or the way you look or the way you are working on your skills. Because even a 99 doesn't work. You have to give your 120% every time. And then that's it. Don't stress about it and just keep working. And I believe that if you are genuinely, honestly working towards your dream, sooner or later, you will get it.
That's actually quite inspiring. And you know, finally, I have to ask you, what have you been up to during the lockdown and any lockdown learnings or self-discovery?
Oh, God. Lots. The first lockdown gave me a lot of self-discoveries and there were learnings. And, you know, that was the first time I had so much time to myself. I realized that I'd never had such a long break in my life. At that point, I got into a lot of reading, a lot more meditation, a lot more yoga, you know, just understanding. And my reading was deep reading of the Vedas and the Upanishads and all of that. And this lockdown is just sort of dealing with or reaffirming that We all forgot that, you know, nature is bigger than any one of us. When the lockdown was lifted, we got back to our work. And then again, we've been made to forced to sit into our houses. And this makes you think that really, what are you chasing in life? And what is your stand? And who are you literally on this huge planet? Negligible.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of these things come into perspective. You start understanding that what really matters is people around you and your family and love and affection from them. And then work happens, you know. Fretting over anything is really not going to help. So yeah, I think you just become more, I mean, at least for me, I became more rooted, more spiritually inclined. I've always been a spiritual person, but right now I'm more calm that everything will happen. Stressing is not going to be a solution for anything.
And that's something that everybody definitely needs to follow at this point, because I think everybody is just sitting and stressing at different levels.
Yeah, I just feel that, you know, I'm going to give a very spiritual answer to this. I just feel that as humans, we believe or we start believing that stress is an inevitable part of our life. You know, because even when people ask you questions, so how do you manage the stress when you're working for a film and, you know, you're working long hours? But who said I'm stressed? I want to do it. That's why I'm doing it. You know, so I think everybody just feels that you're supposed to be stressed. City life is meant to be stressed, you know, and life today is difficult, so be stressed. But there are ways to deal with it. And I think that's something that this lockdown has helped me understand and eliminate from my life completely. And people also need to understand, because with stress, you are just harming your own body, increasing your, whether it's COVID-related stress, because stressing is not the solution. Yes, taking precautions is, being righteous and following the rules is, but then if you get COVID or if you hear of things around, being in fear is only going to worsen things. So I think understanding that is very important in today's time.
Yeah, completely agree with you. Well, thank you so much for your time, Rakul, for this wonderful conversation.
And thank you, Karishma. So
I remember speaking to Chef Floyd Cardoz when he was here for Christmas before the pandemic hit. Little did I know that that would be the last time I spoke to him, as he succumbed to COVID shortly after. The other two partners, Samir and Yash, have not had it easy given the pandemic has hit restaurants hard, including theirs. While I'm yet to visit the Bombay canteen, I've gone to its Goan counterpart, O Pedro, and the food was exactly what I was looking for. And it's their journey during the pandemic that HT Brunch columnist Veer Sanghvi talks about this week. Listen on for more.
When you go to a restaurant, particularly a hip, really trendy one, does it occur to you that the people who run it, the people who own it, have actually undergone their share of heartbreak? About how difficult it's been for them to keep open, to remain happy during this terrible period. Well, I talk this time to people who run one of Bombay's hippest restaurants, the Bombay Canteen. The group includes O Pedro and Bombay Sweet Shop. And believe me, they've gone through hell during this lockdown. They lost their founder and their original managing partner, the great chef Floyd Cardoz, but they've come out of it. They've found a way to survive all of the heartaches and troubles they've had. They've motivated their staff. They've adjusted to delivery. They've come to the conclusion that this is a new world and they have to adapt. So listen to that story, read that story. You'll enjoy it.
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Probably makes for the most relatable lyrics of a song for me. It wasn't just about the song that made it stick, but the show, Friends. Rachel, Ross, Monica, Chandler, Phoebe and Joey are no strangers to 90s kids, which is when the show was running for a decade. The end of the show in 2004 seemed like the end of an era to me. I love the quirk and character that every and each character brought to screen, and it is still my go-to feel-good show. So when the reunion happened recently and aired, of course I watched it. complete with a box of tissues and hugging a pillow, no less. I mean, even Janice and Gunther were there. I was quite surprised to see the backlash against it, with people pitting the show against others. But live and let live, no matter what your quirks are. That's what the show is about, no? That and that they'll always be there for you. Well, here's HT Brunch columnist Rehana Munir's take on it.
So everyone's watched the Friends reunion episode by now, I imagine. And I've heard a lot of responses. A lot of the international press, they've complained about the staged nature of the interactions, the gimmicks that were too gimmicky, and all sorts of other not so friendly things. I had a wildly different response. It was very emotional for me because I was an adolescent when I first saw the show. And hanging out and spending an unholy number of hours with my friends at the time doing nothing in particular. So in a way, it was like watching an elegy for our lost youth, you know, to put it very dramatically. Even though we're all trying very hard to hold on to our status of, you know, being eternally young at age 40. There are, of course, cooler shows and shows that are far cleverer. But, you know, Friends came together in a way that hasn't been repeated since. Even though we're now, you know, television hit a kind of a golden era in the decade following the finale of Friends, with OTT coming in and everything sort of hitting new standards of excellence. But I haven't seen a sitcom that's hooked me on or has been so addictive. And while watching this reunion episode, you know, I was particularly interested in and fascinated by the craft of it, how they made the show back then, the sets, the live audience, the casting of it, the writing of it. And most importantly, it made me think of who I was and who my friends were at the time when the show first aired in India. So this week's column is spun out of memories of the show. It's a show that's sort of given me a shorthand, a kind of a not-so-secret-secret language to use with some of my favorite people. You know, all the references, associations, and all the voices you do when you're among Friends fans or Friends nerds. And we're unabashedly that. So that's what this week's column is about, and I hope you enjoy it. Bye.
You heard an instrumental piece last week and read about what would seem like the opposite of it, a cappella, which is vocals only, in our HT Brunch Sunday debate with Archit Anand and Pia Padar. This week we got Pia to sing an a cappella version of the famous 90s song Jia Jale from the movie Dil Se. Hope you like it.
Hi, my name is Pia Padar and I'm a singer-songwriter based out of Gurgaon. The song you're going to be listening to next is an a cappella cover of the song Jia Jale from the movie Dil Se. All the sounds produced in this cover have been done solely using my vocals and no instruments have been used. I hope you enjoy it. Have a great Sunday brunch.
The weekend is when you take a break from a hectic week, whether it's work from home or work from work. It's also a day to develop perspective on things by not just consuming news, but also analyzing it by listening to different points of views and figuring out what you feel about it. We hope we've been able to do just that with today's HT Brunch podcast. Feel free to give us feedback and suggestions on HT Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or DM us directly at HT Brunch on Instagram and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se. I will see you back here next weekend with another dose of entertainment that keeps things real. Till then, happy brunching, guys.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT Smartcast.